Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. My name is Lauren, and I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and now podcast. I'm joined today by my husband, Eric. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, babe. It's an honor to be here today. Happy to support you in any way that I can.
You're a great husband. Our goal for today is to make adulting a bit easier for our listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. Today, we're going to discuss how to prepare for a meeting with a financial advisor. Eric, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I am now as I was to meet with that financial planner.
Yeah, exactly. So Eric and I, just for some background, got married in July, and then I turned 30 shortly after that. This is in 2019. Both milestones made it feel like it was probably time to get some professional advising help because neither of us are money management professionals. I sell financial training to businesses about business for a living, and I do this as a hobby.
And I am a very special type of engineer. I'm a fire protection engineer, so not so much finance required for that profession.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not really very much involved in the curriculum for those studies.
Mm-mm.
So how this all started was I reached out to a friend of ours who's also a realtor and asked him if he knew of anyone, and he gave us two names, and we decided to meet with both initially by phone. Both financial advisors. Based on the questions they both asked and the information they eventually asked us for, we've compiled a list of steps to take to prepare for a meeting with a financial advisor, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we dive in, though, let's acknowledge it's difficult to tell the difference between a financial advisor and a financial planner. Once again, I sought the help of Investopedia. So a financial advisor is a broad term for a professional who helps manage money. And this can include subsets like stockbrokers, insurance agents, money managers, estate planners, bankers, etc. A financial planner, on the other hand, is a type of financial advisor who helps individuals make a plan to meet long-term financial goals. What you need to understand is that financial planner and financial advisor are titles that are often used interchangeably. And one of the reasons for this, according to the research I did, is that this is not a regulated title, and they can basically call themselves what they want and even use it as a marketing tool. Another thing that I want you to note, you may hear the word fiduciary thrown around when looking into financial advising or financial planning. And basically what this means is that they have an ethical obligation to act in their client's best interest. And I would recommend, and people told us this as well, just ask your financial advisor or planner whether they're a fiduciary when you reach out to them. So as an FYI, the two guys we met with are both titled financial advisors on LinkedIn. And random side note, Eric will love this. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, advisor can be spelled with an ER or an OR.
Oh, geez.
So on the website, you may see us go back and forth. I started with ER, but now I've started using OR.
So even at the beginning of this podcast, you introduced it as a financial advisor, and I think I said financial planner.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, they're basically interchangeable. Financial planner, basically a subset of financial advisor, but there's not a lot of guidelines around it. And even as I was looking up information for this podcast, there aren't any good answers almost no matter where you go. So we are basically from here on out going to use the term advisor. So your advisor will at least want some of the information we're about to go over. Even if they don't ask for each individual thing that we're going over, knowing where you stand financially will prepare you better when you first walk into that meeting. Are you ready to jump into the seven steps here?
I'm ready.
All right. Number one is overcome your fears of talking about and being honest about your finances. So this is generally a taboo topic in our society, and it can feel a little awkward at first. To be bearing your financial soul to someone else. Remember, you're meeting with an advisor for a reason. Keep that reason, which I like to call your why, in mind as you get ready for that first meeting. Eric, what would you say that our why is?
We have quite a few whys. Obviously, you know, we have unique whys. For us, it's financial independence at a relatively, younger age than most.
Yeah, I would say that's the big one. we're not necessarily the hugest proponents or flag children, I would say, for the financial independence retire early movement. However, we do want to retire basically 15 years earlier than most people do. So I would say that's our biggest why.
Yeah, and just to have general security and confidence in what you're doing, knowing you're doing the right things. There's a lot of information out there, but it's sometimes difficult to know what applies to you and what doesn't and who you should trust and, you know.
Yeah, and even someone like us, or like especially me, because I've done a lot of reading on this, it's good to just get validation from somebody else that you're on the right track.
Absolutely.
So that can help you feel a lot better at least.
Yeah, when we're talking about being honest, both be honest to yourself and to your advisor. Obviously, it does you no good. I don't know that anyone would lie to a financial advisor, but who knows? It's good to be honest to both.
Yeah, and your partner, like in our situation.
Right.
Don't hide credit card debt or anything like that. So moving to number two, step one was overcome your fears. Step two is know your income from the last couple of years. So a financial advisor will want to know what you make so that they can help you plan for the future. You don't have to be super exact. Something that you could do is get your W-2s or 1099s together from the last couple of years. Don't forget to include your side hustles if you're driving for Uber or designing tattoos on the side or something like that. Include that income as well, especially if you think it's going to go on for the foreseeable future. And also having your tax returns available could help. We basically estimated it, and conservatively at that, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is, and it's kind of difficult, right? You want to be conservative to protect yourself, but at the same time, you want to be realistic. And I mean, certain increase in salary would be expected as you gain experience over time. But, you know, even some people have more difficult compensation to quantify. Like if you're in a commission-based position, that can be difficult. Looking back, you might have had a great year, you might have had a poor year, and it's really hard to tell where you're going to go. And so, yeah, I guess be conservative. I think in our analysis, we looked at like a raise at inflation rate. Just around like 3% is what we assumed in our model.
Yeah, and that's what the advisor suggested that we do. Also, I am one of those people that I do have commission and bonuses and things like that. So you don't want to assume you're not getting any of that. But basically, I've been doing this for 5 years or so. If you take the average of those years, you should be fine.
And I've jumped around jobs too, so it's a difficult thing to really pin down.
Yeah, but the point is, if you have your W-2s, you have your 1099s, you have your tax returns available, I'm sure the advisor will have some advice for you on which number to assume. Mm-hmm. All right, so heading to number three then. Number one, overcome your fears. Number two was know your income. Number three is be prepared to share your budget. And I'm using budget loosely here because you may not have one. Basically, what I want you to understand is what your cash inflows and your cash outflows are. So once the advisor knows what you make, they'll want to hear where that money goes that you're making. So your gross income is going to be your salary plus commission and bonuses, if applicable, like we just talked about. And then what you're going to take out of that amount are going to be health insurance, employer-sponsored retirement accounts, and then taxes. And what remains is basically what's going to be deposited into your account. That's going to be your cash inflow. Your outflows will be your bills, mortgage or rent, utilities, student loan payments, car insurance, as well as entertainment, food, household purchases, etc. You may also be saving or investing. That would all be cash that's going out of your account. And hopefully, once you jot all that down, when you subtract your outflows from your inflows, there's money left over. And that could be put further either into savings or further into investment. And this is a key part of what an advisor is interested in, along with how much you're putting into retirement period, those employer-sponsored accounts. So Eric and I have a monthly spreadsheet. So this was relatively easy for us. And Eric is excited for us to eventually do an entire podcast on budgeting. So look for that sometime in the future, right?
Yeah, that'll be a really good one. And, you know, I have a passion for making spreadsheets. It's one of my hobbies. But I really think when it comes to budgeting, I know we said we're going to have another podcast, but find something that works for you. And for us, it's a spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's a spreadsheet. We go over it every month together, email it back and forth. But we'll talk about that more then. And I bet when we do research for that, we'll learn a lot ourselves.
Yes, definitely.
So moving to number four then, this is compile your account statements. So one of the advisors we met with immediately asked us to send over statements from our accounts. So you might as well have them saved and ready and put together. And these statements could include retirement accounts like your 401ks, IRAs, 403bs, etc., holdings outside of retirement, brokerage accounts, checking accounts, savings accounts, and whatever you've got, really. The advisor will be interested to know what the balances are and where those are invested. Also, you should be aware of any disability or life insurance you have. For example, I have insurance of 1x my salary through my work, and I also have some disability insurance as well. Eric, anything to add to number 4?
Yeah, this can be a pain in the butt, especially if you don't check your stuff regularly. Just know your passwords. My advice would be to just use one password for everything.
He's kidding.
I'm only joking, but yeah, that's a fun part of this whole process.
Yeah, and so I have insurance through my work right now. Eric doesn't have any disability insurance or life insurance, and I'm trying to get him to get life insurance.
Yeah, she's giving me the eyes right now. I don't know. I'm a little nervous for my life.
Yeah, I'm going to murder you. just kidding. This could probably be used against me in a court of law. So moving on then from number 4 to number 5. Put a balance sheet together. And if you want to say that another way, you should also calculate your net worth. Your advisor is probably going to do this for you. And it's just basically nice to make sure you guys are both on the same page and see if they match. So what they'll do and what you can do is use the accounting equation. Assets minus liabilities equals equity. So the first thing you want to do is understand what the value of your assets are. So use those account statements that we just talked about. Also get an approximate value of the things that you own. So your house and your car for sure. You may have additional properties, vehicles, boats. Good for you if you've got a boat. Other assets. Estimate the value of literally everything that you own. And then what you want to do is calculate the debt or the liabilities that you have on those assets. So figure out what your mortgage is, what your student loan balance is, personal loans, credit cards, auto loans, whatever you've got. And then what you want to do is add up all the balances of your debt and subtract it from the value of your assets. And that's going to give you your net worth. And this can be really, I would say, a pretty eye-opening step, especially if you've never done it before.
Yeah, I feel like this might go one of two ways. Either you're going to be very pleased or very disappointed and know you have some work to do moving forward.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter which one it is. You've got to know and ignorance is not bliss in this scenario.
Yeah, either way. It's important you know.
So moving then to number 6, get ready to express your goals. So picture in your mind, close your eyes unless you're driving, how you see your life playing out. If you're in a relationship, especially if you're married, like we are, have a conversation with your partner. You don't have to arrive at the meeting with an exact idea of when you'd like to retire, but it's a bonus if you know. And whether you both want to retire at the same time. I think, you know, we're going to hope that Eric works 20 years after I do and I can just kick back. I'm just kidding. If you want to have kids, you should talk about when that would be, you know, how many, when's the right time, whether you want to pay for school. Is that private grade school? Are we just talking about college? Talk about whether one parent will stay home for a while. And again, you don't have to be settled on these things going into the meeting, but it's worth having that conversation. Think about your lifestyle, whether your current lifestyle is what you're going to want to do in retirement. Are you going to maybe not working is really important for you and you actually want to downgrade your lifestyle. Maybe you want to upgrade it. Maybe you want to start balling out with like Ferraris and trips around the world. Just know what that lifestyle is going to be when you retire. And one last thing to consider is your stance on Social Security. So whether you think the benefit will stay the same, increase or decrease, you could also elect not to include it at all. We basically decided to go with what the advisor thought on that. Some of them believe that there will be Social Security in some capacity, just that it will, the age will be increased and the amount of benefit will be decreased. Some think we shouldn't count on it at all, and that should just be maybe you drive a nicer car in retirement than you otherwise would. Anything to add on the goals?
I think this is the most important step. And it's also, you know, really important here that you're honest with yourself and what you want to do and what's going to make you happy in life.
Yeah, it's a good point. A little bit of self-reflection. So moving on from goals then. Step 7, last one we're going to go over. Do not, under any circumstances, stress yourself out. Taking control over your finances can be really overwhelming. I have some moments where I'll say to Eric, okay, I can't talk about this right now. Can we put it on pause? Do the best that you can when compiling the information about your income, expenses, those statements, balance sheet, your goals. It's okay to just have an approximation. This is a journey. And a financial plan is going to be a moving target. It's going to be refined over time anyways. So you don't have to be very, very exact upfront. And remember that the resultant relationship with a financial advisor will give you peace of mind and a more certain path forward than you're on right now. And this all goes back to that why we originally talked about. Anything to add, Eric?
So you mentioned this is like sort of a dynamic type goal. How often would we typically meet with a financial advisor?
It depends. The financial advisor will tell you. The ones that we met with, if we do invest with them, our non-retirement assets, they agree to meet with us once a quarter, I believe is what they said. You should at least probably revisit the plan once a year, I would say. What do you think? Less than that?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think maybe it depends on where you're at. If you've had a major event, let's say you had a child, well, now you've got to reevaluate everything.
Well, maybe I think you would know like 10 months before that's coming.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, life events would be automatically qualifying for that. Probably about once a year. And the advisor can tell you what they like to do. You know, what do they do with most of their clients? And if you're the type of person that wants to do that more often, and you're with an advisor that says, I'm going to meet with you 5 years, maybe that's not a good fit.
Mm, yep.
So I thought next and lastly, we'd let everyone know the outcomes of the two meetings that we had. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
So after the initial phone meetings, the advisors did present us a financial analysis. Our first advisor forgot to include my 401k information, which was a pretty sizable part of our retirement savings. And he also assumed that we wouldn't use any of the money at the time that we had set aside for a rental property, and that we would take that money and invest it all with him. But joke was on him a little bit because we did use that money to buy a rental property. The second one did a much better job, I thought. He listened, took our real estate goals into account. I think he actually owns properties himself, so he was very supportive. And he came up with a pretty good plan. Since then, he's been very insistent on us getting life insurance, which I am considering for Eric, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, though, are we moving forward with either one? The answer right now is no. We don't believe that their commission rate, which was 1.35% for one and 1.75% for the other, if we take money outside of our retirement accounts, we have our 401ks, which are employer sponsored, and then we have Roth IRAs that go into Vanguard. Anything outside of that we want to invest in the market, say, if we want to invest it with them, they're going to take over 1% of those earnings. So if you imagine your portfolio growing 5 or 6% on average, say it grows 6%, you're getting actually less than a 5% return because they're taking that much of your portfolio at a time. So we just didn't think that they would add enough value for that at this point.
And this is kind of unique for us because for the most part, we enjoy reading and studying and understanding what we're investing in. And that's probably not the case for most people. So
yeah, a lot of people don't. I think it also, if we had $250,000, which we don't, that we were going to put in there, the percent goes down and mm-hmm. they probably would add more value because there's more money there. And fluctuations in the market wouldn't have impacted as much, probably. Whereas if you've got $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that you're going to put in there and the market's going down, they're still taking that 1.75%. Right. That could be really detrimental.
Right.
So, and as we talked about earlier, Eric and I have a tentative plan to retire earlier than conventional wisdom really allows for. And neither one of them were able to capture that in their models. We're still really searching for the right fit for us.
I think we ought to define retirement. Because every time we say retire, people come to us like, well, what are you going to do when you retire? It's like, okay, it's not retired in the conventional sense. It's at that point, if we choose to work, we work. It's not like we're locked into doing what we're doing. We get
right.
the freedom to do whatever it is we want to do.
In that sense, we do subscribe to the financial independence retire early movement. That's abbreviated as FIRE movement. It's really, retirement actually means work optional. at that point.
Right.
Right. Can you basically just support your lifestyle? So you're right. We'll do other stuff. Have no fear. And so we're still, the verdict as of, you know, this recording is we're still searching for the right financial advising fit for us.
Yeah.
So now you know some steps to take prior to meeting with a financial advisor. You can find more information in the Adulting is Easy blog, How to Prepare for Your First Meeting with a Financial Advisor, 7 Steps, which was posted in September at realadultingiseasy.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at adultingiseasy. You can email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com.
If you like our show or site and want to support us, you can donate at patreon.com/adultingiseasy. Thanks again for listening. Hopefully we've made adulting a little easier for you.